Hey Podnuts, Corey here from Instant House Call. Whether you're a break fix tech who needs to provide remote support on demand without pre-installed software, or a managed service provider who wants to connect to unattended PCs anytime, Instant House Call makes remote support easy. I want to invite you to try Instant House Call free for yourself. Go to podnuts.com and click on the link in the show notes, then use the promo code PODNUTS. Instant House Call is the best remote support on earth. We can prove it. Try it free now and see for yourself.
Welcome to Podnuts Daily, episode number 445, a show for computer repair techs by computer repair techs. I'm your host, Jeff Hallisch. I'm joined today by the awesome Matt Rainey from informedit.net. How you doing, Matt?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Jeff.
It's great to have you back. Everybody, I was just telling you before the show that everybody has been clamoring and says, we want more Matt Rainey. We'd like some, you know, Tim Kelly. We'd like some old people from the old Podnuts back in the day. You know, this network goes back all the way to 2008. And obviously you guys did a lot of great things way back in the beginning. And now we're here now. And now apparently you're all stuck with me. So,
well, you know what? Absence makes the heart grow fonder.
There you go. There you go.
Living infamy. Just show up once in a while when I can.
There you go. Well, plus, you know, I get to sit here and just I get to listen to you, so it works out for me. I can just sit back on my couch and go, Matt Rainey, what is going on with you?
Well, you know, in years to come, when somebody might replace you because you've whatever become too great and can't do this anymore. People will say, whatever happened to Jeff? Let's bring back Jeff. We miss Jeff. So you don't know how great you are until you've kind of stepped back a little bit.
There you go.
They don't appreciate you as much as they will because you're still here. It's some of us that were on more, it's, I don't know, it's, we're not there. So they think, oh, it'd be great to have Matt back. And, you know, it would, but it's always better the way you remember it.
Well, right. You know, the one thing I do remember about listening to you and Lalo is that you guys had, I mean, you always brought great stories. And Lalo was a great co-host because he would bring other stuff out of you, and you guys had great dialogue together. And I think really a lot of people miss the Matt Rainey type stories where Matt goes, hey, listen, if it's more than a yes or no, you're getting charged.
That's a great tip. People give too much away for free.
We all do. I admit it myself.
I mean, the plumber doesn't come and say, well, all I did was unclog the toilet, so I guess I'll do it for free. No.
I know. We get this, I don't, it's something about the IT industry where we just feel like we're doing this out of the kindness of our hearts. And even though we do care about the customer and want to take care of the customer, the reality is, you still want to get paid for your time because it's time away from family, it's time away from friends, home, whatever. You know, you need to be paid accordingly, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's a win-win situation, in my opinion.
Yeah, I do it out of the kindness of my heart. That's why I'm doing it, but I still want to pay for it.
Exactly.
Because if I wasn't kind, I wouldn't even be doing it. So the fact that I'm doing it is because I'm nice, and then I want to pay for it.
There you go. No, that's perfect. So what have you been up to lately, and what types of stories can you regale us with?
Oh, you know, this past weekend alone has been not any computer-related thing, but just a good weekend overall. I'll start out with that.
All right.
And real briefly, my wife's birthday was this past week. We went out with some friends, the Ruth Chris Steakhouse, had a nice dinner over there. And while I'm there, another friend texts me saying, hey, you want to go to the LSU game tomorrow? I've got club seats, which is a private club, stadium club level.
Ooh.
In the stadium, right? Nice private, all the food, all the drink, everything's included. So I go out to the LSU game yesterday. That's a nice little day trip. This morning was a Jeep jaunt. So 500 Jeeps going down the road, down to a casino where they have auctions and door prizes. And so it's been a long weekend.
Good weekend.
Long weekend. Now the rain didn't help. It rained all weekend, but luckily my Tigers tickets had an overhang. So I wasn't getting wet like all of the people in the irregular seats.
Oh, nice.
But that's the weekend. That was a good weekend. But work is work. You know, it's always there. I do want to mention the forums though, real quick.
Yeah.
In the form, so Informed IT, formedit.net is the site, right?
Yes. Yes, it is. I've got it pulled up right now, so I'm looking at it. Yes.
How much did I go there? I just want to thank the people who have been getting those forms. I have a lot of good feedback. People are emailing me, telling me thank you. They make some suggestions. Some I'm going to roll into another set of forms, and which will be added to the original set of forms. Because if you bought it, you're going to get either an email or a re-download with all of them bundled. So look for that coming soon, hopefully. It's not going to be a whole bunch more forms, but it is some that were good suggestions that I want to incorporate, which is what I like.
Right.
I want to, eventually it might be like 800 forms. We'll see. but hopefully I can fit that in. I have it dedicated to put some time aside to, and no one really asked me to make any changes to the forms I already had. They had a few suggestions for new forms, which is great. But people are thanking me for the forms. So if you want to check them out, informedit.net, use the discount code Podnuts.
Yes. I believe that's the last one you gave me. So yes.
25% off.
Nice.
And for those who don't know what the forms are, and I had a back and forth with somebody who they really helped out with on email. They kept emailing me. They said it saved them. So basically, he went to a new customer's office and he took the forms and he just went form by form to do discovery for the client.
Oh, nice.
And that's what my original idea was for.
Okay.
To do discovery of a new client and to document your current clients. But his client was impressed about what he asked because it was so thorough.
Nice. That's great. That's good to know.
He said, oh, nobody ever asked me about where my data is or how we're backing it up or how we restore it. But because he had the forms, he had a checklist of what to ask. And they sat there, went over everything. And when he was done, he knew everything about that client, which is what they're for.
Right.
He found things like no battery backups. The customer didn't realize that someone else had their domain name that wasn't with the company anymore.
Oh.
When they were filling out the domain name sheet. So
right.
What domain names do you have? Where they're registered at? They didn't know any of this. They didn't know how bad they had it off until he pointed out by using the forms.
Right.
Which is the whole purpose. That was great. I mean, that's exactly what it's for. So he looked pretty smart to his customer in the initial meetings about what they were going to do for them. Of course, he got the client and now he's doing work fine. So that's what the forms are. Just discovery and documenting everything you can about the client. Clients won't even think about, oh, if you sit at their computer and you see, what's this like on here for this software? Oh, I only go on that once a month. Was that important? Yes. Okay. Where is it? Are you backing it up? It's on my desktop.
Yeah.
So that's a no. We'll put that as a no. That's the forums. And look for some forums, some updated forums soon. They're not for everybody. Some of them are kind of specific, but I think enough people would say, yeah, I'll use that. It's there. I'm going to use it. It's something good to document as well. Mainly for people on domains.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. As far as all the forms that are there, and I believe you still have a free form that they can check out on the website. You know, check this stuff out because even for, I think the one you're offering is great for residential clients. I think is it the network form or router form or something?
It's a router. Yeah, it's a router, which everybody has a router.
Exactly. And you know, the unfortunately for a lot of us techs and business owners, documentation is probably a number one poor suit that we do on a daily basis. So this will really help you. And you know what? And it jogs your memory for things that you need to bring to the customer. So regardless, document, just like we always say, backup. You know, get that stuff in place now so that when you go back, you know, I've told this story before where I said, hey, customer calls me up. I could have seen that customer 3 weeks ago. And they say, hey, remember me? You worked on such and such a computer. And I'm like going, and I'll be honest with you, I love my customers, but 9 times out of 10, I'm like, yeah. But you know what? I have a database that I can look them up and, you know, get their information. And you've got to have that stuff somewhere. So these forms are great for doing that. Having the information at your fingertips. I mean, you can scan this stuff into a folder.
They're PDF fillable, right?
Yeah, and they're PDF fillable. So you can just, actually digitally keep them right in a folder or whatever you want to do.
So what I would normally do is have a client folder, save the router as client name-router.
Right.
something. You can edit it as you need to, save it as you need to, put them in your Dropbox, open them on your iPad, whatever. But it's also a way that you'll actually get a lot of work out of existing customers. If you go fill this stuff out on existing customers, you'll find all kinds of stuff that they're not doing correctly that you could say, oh, we need this, this, and this. And you'll get some work out of it. I mean, with the discount of $30, I didn't want to make it too expensive, but you'll pay for it. The first client you'll get, they'll be impressed with the forms. But
not only that, I mean, with all the information that you've brought over the years and the things that you've done with the network and stuff, I would say, you know what, go out there, support Matt. This is going to help you in your business. And here's a tip, people. It's a tax write-off. So it doesn't matter if you spent $100, it's still a tax write-off. So you have to figure out whether you want to pay Uncle Sam or if you want to, you know, make your business better. And that's what you got to figure out for yourself. So I would say make your business better. And for those that aren't doing their taxes properly, start doing your taxes properly.
Yeah, I would love everybody to fill these forms out because I hate going behind somebody and they have nothing documented. Right. I hate going behind my own people and nothing's documented. It drives me up a wall.
Right.
I mean, how bad does that make me look when they call me and I got to make a router change and I have no idea what the router password is?
Something so simple.
That makes us look bad.
Right.
It's so much nicer if I can just pull it up.
And tell me, Matt, is this very safe if you take a piece of scotch tape and write it on the bottom of the router so the customer can just flip it over?
If you have physical security. But you know what? That piece of paper that you're going to tape there is going to be lost, thrown away, or the password is going to be changed. And now you're going to forget that it's taped under there. So now it's a different password, which makes you more confused when you go to look and see that password and it doesn't work.
Yeah. Exactly. And it's better for you to have that information on hand where you're on your computer, a customer's calling, you can pull that documentation up and go, okay, I can get in there and fix this and do what we need to do. But when you don't, I mean, you're kind of stuck. Then you got to ask all the questions and that takes more time.
You know what I hate? You know what I hate when customers say, shouldn't you know this?
Oh, yes, I've got every password ever. Ever done, like, memorized.
Yeah, well, as far as like documentation, like I think you have an 8-port switch connected to that. Do you have an 8-port switch? And they say, well, shouldn't you know? You do my computer work. Well, yeah, I can't remember every switch that's at every customer, but if you have this, you can easily see what you have over there.
And there you go.
Well, that's enough about the forms. I'll move on from that. But I like the emails that I get, people thanking me and telling me how they use them. It's pretty cool.
Good. Yeah, no, good stuff.
So one thing I've been doing, I'm gonna just hopefully 5 minutes about this. So remember at the convention in Chicago?
Yes. Oh, I remember a lot of things about the convention. Yeah.
So I think I might have mentioned to a few people I was working on something else. And they were all like, what are you working on? I said, it's not computer stuff. Don't worry about it. It's not important right now. And it's still not important for most people, but I just want to share what it is. I've been getting into real estate.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah. So I am actually, I left Chicago Thursday. That Monday, I started my real estate training.
Very cool.
So I am now a licensed realtor. I've been doing some real estate stuff for a couple of months now. And let me tell you what, people ask me, oh, so you get on computers? Definitely not. Definitely not. No. So let me put that to bed. Not getting out of computers. Computer is still number one. But the real estate game or market is huge. It's the biggest market in the country for a single industry.
Right. Yeah.
And it's just a good way to build wealth is to be involved in the biggest way to build wealth is, of course, to have property. But I'm just an agent. but if anybody, I just want to say, why are you telling us this? Look, if anybody needs to sell, buy real estate, hey, give me a call. And Jeff, you might say, why would I call you? You're in Louisiana. And by the way, people, I'm in Louisiana. I'm in Michigan. Why would I call you? Well, if you don't know an agent, Jeff, if you have no idea who an agent is, you're just going to pick a name of a hat, you call me.
There you go.
I'll research and find the agent for you in your area. Instead of you picking them out of hat, I'll find somebody for you. I'll call. I'll do some research. I'll find somebody. And I say, well, that's so nice of you, Matt. Why would you do that? Well, okay, I do get a percentage from the agent, not from you.
Right.
It's not coming out of your pocket. I just work a deal out with the agent that I find, but I'm going to find a good agent for you.
There you go.
If anybody wants to, if anybody says, hey, you know what? I'm going to give Matt a break. I'm going to call him. Hey, just check out mattrainey.net. The contact info is on there. Pretty soon you might have seen my mug on there because I had some new pictures taken. mattrainey.net. That's all I'm going to say about that. I'm just going to throw it out there. If anybody doesn't have an agent and you need one, give me a call. I will find you an agent. Unless you live in South Louisiana, and then I can do it for you.
There you go. No, it's, you know what? It's always hard to find, you know, in the service industry, it's hard to find somebody that you trust. So this is definitely a good avenue because, you know, you've got their best interests because they know you, they know what you've done in the past, and, you know, they'll be able to use that moving forward. And it's always helpful.
And really, I'm mid-40s. I'm probably not going to work in computers for another 20 years. This is a good kind of segue into doing this. You know, and I really, Jeff, come on. I think you've heard me talk enough. You know these computer people aggravate me.
That's true.
For my own health, I don't know if I can do this another 20 years in computer work. So,
I don't know if you're going to find it too much. I don't know if you're going to find it better in real estate either, to be honest with you. You know,
I the way I deal with my computer people, I talk to agents and they tell me stories about their customers. I said, I wouldn't put up with that. I don't put up with the computer work.
Exactly. You know, I told my wife the other day, I said, my job would be my day job would be awesome if there was no people there.
That would be nice.
I could do the job all day long by myself, not have to interact with anybody. That'd be perfect. But it's just not a reality.
Yeah. And you know, for me, my job lately at work has been the service manager for this is of course my full-time job, where I'm directing all the techs and I'm making sure they do what they're doing. I'm really sitting in my desk all day long. So yeah. I've been getting the break. I mean, for, you know, the first 10, 15 years I've been doing computer work, I'm on the field just like everybody else, driving around, meeting the customers. I kind of actually miss that now that I've been doing what I've been doing for the past 3, 4, 5 years.
Right.
I kind of would like to get out and go drive. I think, well, you techs got it easy. You just have to do one job at a time.
Exactly.
I send you here, then I send you here. I'm doing like 15 things at once.
Right.
Yeah, I kind of miss that part, but.
I hear you.
But you know what? After the Chicago conference, I went to the conference in D.C.
Yes, I remember. Yeah, because you sent me a message, I think. Yeah.
And that was for the Max Focus.
Right.
And now the same guys, there were CompTIA guys there. They had their CompTIA booth as one of the vendors. Now, how many vendors were at Chicago and CompTIA, Jeff? Just to give me I don't need the exact number. I'm not going to hold you to it, but how many vendors do you think were in the vendor area?
There had to be at least a couple hundred because I couldn't get to everybody.
Okay, so the Max Focus conference, a little smaller. Take a guess at how many vendors were in the Max Focus.
There's probably about 30.
There was probably about 12.
Oh, wow. That's even lower than what I thought.
They were in one little U. You could visit all of them in 5 minutes.
Wow. Okay.
Aisle 8 was there.
Yep.
You know Aisle 8?
Oh, yeah.
Aisle 8 makes great products. People check that out. Aisle 8, great power, I guess what you call it, power management.
Yeah, they got the Watt box that you can basically turn on and turn off over the internet.
Yep. They were there. CompTIA was there. But what I want to share with people who was there was the ASCII group. Have you ever heard of the ASCII group?
Oh, yes.
Have you dealt with them?
I cannot confirm nor deny that at this point.
So we joined
in a roundabout way. Yes, I know of them, and I know some of the representatives and stuff. So,
we joined the ASCII group because they give a discount for Max Focus and Enable. I know some people use Enable.
Yeah, that's true.
So just from joining, I've saved probably 10 times the yearly fee for the ASCII group.
Okay.
With a discount for Max Focus.
Nice.
And that's just one of the benefits. So if you have Max Focus or Enable, you can save a lot of money. Of course, it depends on your volume, right?
Right.
If it's 10% off, 10 to 15% off of what you pay, it could be significant. So for ours, roughly, we're saving, I'm just going to give round numbers. I'm not sure the X numbers. Let's say it's $100 a year. No, let's just say it's $1,000 a year to join the ASCII group.
Okay.
I mean, if you're going to save $600 a month on your Max Focus bill, it's probably worth it.
Oh, yeah.
So it depends on what you're paying for Max Focus or Enable. Just that alone could save your cost. But what they also have is Tech Data, Synex. So if you don't order from Tech Data or Synex, you can be put in a group where you can order from Tech Data and Synex and get pretty good prices from them.
Okay.
And there's you can get insurance through them. I think they have a, you know, Arizona Mission insurance you can get through them. So it's just a bunch of different stuff. Now, I've just joined maybe 2 months ago, a month ago, but for us, it was a no-brainer, but just because of savings with Max Focus.
Right.
So if, check them out. I mean, I don't have any referral code. I don't get anything for referring somebody. There's no referral code. Just go to ASCII, ASCII.com, and check them out. I mean, just to save you some money.
Right.
Doesn't give me anything.
No, but yeah, there's a lot of good things that can come out of that, you know, that a lot of people are already using it anyways, right? So they can get a better deal if they right. join these, you know, these organizations, which, you know, that makes sense. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you do any ordering from things like Tech Data or Synex?
Yep.
Okay. So is there a significant savings or what are the benefits of ordering through somebody like that versus just going to Amazon or Best Buy or whatever?
You're going to get better pricing.
Okay.
From Tech Data and Synex.
Okay.
So, like, whatever, let's say it's a printer, and the customer chooses a printer for $129.99 at Office Depot.
Okay.
I can sell it to them for the same price because through my distributor, I can get a good price. So I can still make plenty of money ordering from Tech Data or Synex and sell it to them for the same price that they see at the store.
Gotcha. Okay.
Basically, I'm either getting it for the same price Office Depot is getting it or about the same. So whatever they make, I make.
Now, let me ask you another question, because and the reason I'm asking is because I actually have these organizations that are calling me on a regular basis wanting me to sign up. And, you know, obviously the sign up is free. Now, my question is, there's a lot of these different companies that do this same type of thing. Is there like one that we could pick and just stick with that one, or do they have their strong suits in different areas?
I haven't looked into a bunch of them. I pretty much went with this one just from talking to them and just from the discount from Max Focus alone. Now, personally, through Tech Data and Synex, the group that they put you in is good. It's better pricing. Well, first of all, you might not even be able to join Tech Data or Synex if you don't have the volume of ordering, right? You have to have so much orders.
Okay, so that was my other question. So that's a good point, right?
So since you're put in this group, the group meets the volume licensing order requirement. So you don't have to meet it personally. Your group meets it. You're in the group.
Gotcha. Okay.
So you're in the ASCII group that can order this. That's from what I understand. Now, I think the amount that we order, I already get that discount.
Right.
We order a lot of stuff.
Okay.
I mean, I don't think a day goes by we're not putting an order in for a bunch of stuff every day.
Gotcha.
But for those who don't order much, you could probably benefit from the pricing that you're getting from there.
That's a good point.
And that's what I found there. Now, for those who haven't, though, they had talks and discussions. A lot smaller than CompTIA, focused on Max Focus products. Some weren't. Some were very good talks. But generally Max Focus concentration, and they were really pushing their certification track. So I went, one of my techs came with me, and we asked them, what do we get for getting this certification? And they said, what do you mean? You get a piece of paper.
Okay. And
great. I mean, I got a whole stack of papers over here. I mean, what's different about your paper? And I said, what do you want? We get discounts for certification. We get certified through the watch guard. We get the watch guard certification. We get put at a silver or gold partner level, and we get a discount when we order stuff.
Right.
And they said, well, that is a great idea. We've never thought of that. They said, we're going to bring that up to management. I said, you do that. So for anybody who uses Max Focus and gets the certification and gets a discount because of it, you're welcome.
There you go.
I said, well, if you're really wanting people to get certified in your platform, you got to offer something than a piece of paper.
Right.
Give us a discount.
Yeah, because, I mean, let's be honest. How many regular customers, even, you know, and I've heard different things in the industry, but even business customers, how many of them are looking at all the letters behind your name when you come to do work for them? I mean, yeah, a lot.
Not many.
You know, maybe a few. You know, you could put all these letters behind your name, have all these certifications. They still don't, you could still be a cruddy tech. Nobody knows, right? Until you've actually done work for them. Because let's face it, we all know people that are very, very book smart, but as far as common sense, they're a little short in that department.
A little.
I'm being nice now. Come on.
But, yeah. So, Jeff left me speechless. I think that one of the reasons that they want you to get certified is so you know the product, so when you're using it, it's more efficient for the and the, it looks better for the customer, I guess, that you know your stuff and you can deploy this stuff well and it makes it look good. I don't know why they're pushing it so much, but they're really pushing it. So hopefully they'll start offering a discount. But I probably already have the discount through the ASCII group, so I thought I'd get an additional discount.
Right. Well, you know, we went back to Channel Pro in Chicago a month later after the CompTIA conference.
Okay.
Max Focus was also there and they were doing a certification. We thought it was just something that where they were going to explain something to us. We didn't realize what it was. So John Dominski and myself went and we showed up that day and we went in there and we're like going in about 45 minutes, we kind of figured out we were like in the wrong spot. and they really hadn't gotten into, you know, they were kind of asking some questions about, you know, what do you know about the product, you know, so on and so forth. And there seemed to be a lot of people in the room that really kind of already knew a lot of things about the product or had been asking for features and different things that they were kind of, you know, beating up on their reps for to get those features and whatnot. And that goes on all the time. But, you know, that's the first thing I thought. I said, certification, what is that going to do for me? It's not really going to do me anything. I mean, great. I can say I have a certification, but is anybody really going to care?
Right. That was my point to them. You got to give us a discount. You're the only one who wants us to get this. I don't want it.
Right.
You want me to get it. So make it worth my time.
Well, and I think that's where a lot of people get off on the wrong foot, where they think that these certifications are going to put them in a different class. And in reality is I can learn a bunch of things in the book, but if I'm bad at it, you know, deploying those things, it's not going to matter. Just because I'm certified doesn't mean that, oh yeah, I'm going to follow it this, you know, this way every time. And, you know, I mean, if you learn something from it, that's fine, great, whatever. But I don't know. It's one of those things that it's good for some things, I'll say.
So we've been using WatchGuard routers for years and years. And now they have the requirement that to keep our gold level partnership, we have to have so many people get technically certified.
Okay.
And so many people get sales certified. But the benefit of that is we get a good discount.
Right.
On pricing. So they offer discounts to get certified. So I have to take the test. I mean, I've been using it for years. So now I have to take a couple of tests next week. Hopefully pass them.
I mean,
but you know, I've been using it for years, so I should pass it. Plus, I'm taking a 3-day online class taught by WatchGuard. So if I can't pass the test, somebody who took the online 3-day class, read the 550-page student guide, and had been using it for 3, 4, 5 years, I don't know who the test is marketed to.
You know, it's funny. So at my regular job, I had to, well, I didn't have to. I decided to sign up for the skilled trades. I work in a, you know, auto assembly plant. I work for Ford Motor Company. And they came up, I hadn't seen a skilled trades test in years. So I took the booklet they gave us, which is like an $85 study guide. And silly me, took about 30 to 40 hours, somewhere in that range, in a whole week, and basically just studied that stuff. Had my wife help me, you know, help me with a couple of the math issues and stuff like that, because even though I know I knew how to do things, I couldn't remember everything. So she kind of helped me out. And so after studying for that week, I went in, took the test, had no idea how I did. Like, I had no clue. Anyways, long story short, I passed the test. So I'll be eligible to go into the skilled trades if you know, an availability comes up. So that's something that that I'm kind of looking forward to at my regular job. But it was one of those things where all that stuff I did and learned in the test, it's not stuff I use every day. So it really, you know, really doesn't matter.
Now, the watch guard stuff is, I mean, I do like that training.
Sure. Because
that actually one training that got it right, I think. I go to a lot of training and take a lot of tests, and some of them are BS.
Right, right.
This stuff actually looks like it might be real world stuff. I've learned a lot of stuff. Even though I'm using it for 3, 4, 5 years, there's a lot of stuff I didn't realize that I may not be doing as good as I could be doing it.
Right. And that's good. If somebody's going to take their product and actually build this training around it to help you better use that product, that makes perfect sense. But like you said, not a lot of companies do that.
I mean, as a real quick, for instance, there's a HTTP proxy. So let's say I have this on your network. You get the crypto locker. You open up a resume because you're looking to hire somebody, and you open up resume.zip because right. This must be an important resume. So what happens? You open it when the executable runs, it phones home to the server saying, "Hey, give me an encryption key."
Right.
And it sends that encryption key back down and it encrypts your files. So they're protected.
from you.
So there's a setting in the HTTP proxy where you can set it to look for that traffic, to look for that encryption key phone home and block it.
Gotcha. Okay.
And to send me an alarm. So it can't be encrypted because it never gets the encryption key.
Ah, that's perfect.
So you open the resume, it tries to phone home, it blocks it, and it notifies me saying, "Hey, Jeff's trying to encrypt his files," basically.
Right.
Then I can go look at your computer, clean it up, and nothing really happened because it didn't get encrypted. That's just one of the cool new features that I realized while I'm studying this stuff, which is very useful.
Absolutely. Because, you know, I was just thinking about that. You know, I've always said that even in my household, running all these different computers with my kids and whatnot, I use OpenDNS and I, you know, basically lock down my router. And one of the things, it won't go to proxy sites. So I think in having the way I've always had it set up, I think that's what's protected me from getting a lot of that regular malware and different things that my customers get on a regular basis. So I can definitely see that where you have a higher end, you know, firewall that's going to, you know, firewall router that's going to be able to do this stuff better and protect those businesses because they're opening all kinds of stuff all day long.
Yeah. And one other quick one I found in that same proxy, you know, when you go to a website, I'm not much of an HTML person, so I'm trying to regurgitate what I read in my training.
Right.
Maybe this will be a test question. I'll get it because of this. When you go to a website, the server requests information about you, whatever right. You're visiting, right?
Sure.
And I think it's a post command.
Okay.
So you can get down to where if I see the post command, I can block it. And what that does is it's trying to get you to post information about your name, your email address, your address. It's trying to post that to the web server. I can block that.
Ah, okay. That's great.
So when they're trying to harvest names and email addresses and right. phone numbers, just by going to website, if that web server requests it, it'll post it. This can get down to even those commands in HTML.
Nice.
So block the post commands. Don't send that stuff. So it's pretty cool of what it actually can do. A lot of little things like that, which, of course, an average home router isn't going to do.
Right, exactly.
Which is why it drives me crazy when I see Linksys routers in businesses.
It comes down to what we've always talked about, money. Nobody wants to spend the money to have the proper thing. They're going to go in. I can't tell you the last time I've bought a $50 router for my home. As a matter of fact, probably never. I spend anywhere between $150, $200 minimum on a home router. Why? Because I want the features that I can, put in there to make, better protect my network. I mean, again, I'm not a, business per se. So there's a lot of that stuff that I don't need. But I would probably benefit from using something like a WatchGuard or something here. It's going to better protect, my network here from getting, weird things on it.
I'm about to put a new WatchGuard in my house with the wireless built into it. And one of the features I can do is have, I think I mentioned this before, where the wireless, I can print codes, SSIDs that expire.
Ooh, nice.
So I can, instead of giving an allowance to my kids, I can give them Wi-Fi receipts. you put the dishes away? Here, have a half an hour Wi-Fi.
Ooh, nice.
So they got to key that code in and it expires in 30 minutes or an hour or whatever.
Very cool.
Isn't that nice?
That is nice. I like that.
I can go and block individual things. So on the WatchGuard, just the WatchGuard itself, I can put quotas. So my daughter's TV that's streaming Netflix constantly, I can put a quota saying 2 hours, whatever. So many megs. I can put a quota on her.
Nice.
Say, oh, you're getting the message you can't browse Netflix? You must be over quota.
Dad.
So that WatchGuard can do all that stuff for quota, user quotas or device quotas. Lots of cool stuff. I like the Wi-Fi receipts. It's like coffee shops or where somebody comes up and they buy a muffin and you give them an hour of Wi-Fi or whatever time limit you want to give them. And that way, they want another segment of Wi-Fi. They got to buy something else.
Yeah, that's a good way to do it.
Perfectly usable for a home to control how much internet your kids are using.
Yep, absolutely.
Or your spouse or whoever.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm not touching that one.
I don't know what's wrong with it. I'll look at it. Don't worry about it.
I'll get to when I get to it. Yeah, right. Okay.
But these WatchGuards, as far as if they're deployed properly, can really protect networks. And it's a lot of this HTTPS content, which is where a lot of the malware is coming from now.
Yeah.
You put a regular router in, no matter what it's blocking, most of that stuff passes HTTPS through without even looking at it.
Right, right.
That's where a lot of this stuff is coming from now.
So I don't know how much better we're protecting. It's kind of irritating me that, this is a side subject, but Google sounds like they are going to get to the point where they're going to base their rankings on whether you have a certificate, an SSL certificate. And it's like, if you're not selling anything or you're not doing any money transactions or whatever over your website, like my website is just for, basically contact information. You get a hold of me, send in whatever, contact me, contact form or whatever. But really, why do I need an SSL certificate, and is it better for the end user? I mean, does it protect? It doesn't really protect them, as far as I can tell, anyways.
So they want you to have an HTTPS site for your site?
Well, that's what Google is saying, that they're really pushing the SSL certificates so that, yes, you have to get to that point, or it's going to affect your rankings in the Google search.
Because you'd only need it as a cert if it's a HTTPS site. If it's just HTTP, of course, there's no cert because it's not secure.
Correct.
So they want HTTPS TechNut PC.
Yeah. Yep.
That's interesting.
So a lot of people are doing that, and I'll probably get around to the point of doing it, but it's like, why? Again, I'm not really selling anything through my site. I don't do any billing through there or anything like that. So
So if you do that, let's just use it for instance. If you do that, any traffic between customer and your website, most routers can't even look at.
So it doesn't even matter.
So it's going to pass through, straight through, because most routers, no matter what, you can't look at HTTPS traffic.
That's a good point.
So with the WatchGuard to look at HTTPS traffic, for me to inspect it, I've got to put a certificate on the WatchGuard.
Oh, okay.
So when the user requests a website, the WatchGuard decrypts it, inspects it, looks at it, re-encrypts it with the WatchGuard certificate, sends it to the client.
Right.
Okay. Otherwise, it's just going to go straight through. And when you get it, who knows what's in it? Because right. Most routers don't look at it. So that could be a security nightmare for people trying to protect end users' computers with a normal cruddy router.
Right, exactly. You know, I've always laughed at people that say, "Hey, you know, there's all you can get, you know, malware by drive-bys and stuff like that." And I kind of laughed. I go, "Yeah, whatever." And I was on a website the other night, and it was a legitimate website. You know, been there. I don't want to say the website, but it was a good website, good information on her computer information, and something in there on one page was infected. And the reason I know this is that I went there three times just to double check, you know, because why not, right? But what was funny to me is all I have is Windows Defender on my machine, and Windows Defender actually caught it all three times and quarantined it right away. And it was a severe exploit. I was like, oh my gosh. I mean, no clue, you know?
Well, there's some big name websites that have, of course, get infected ads.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
So, I mean.
And that's probably what it was.
Major national global websites,
yep,
that they get an infected ad. So it runs the exploit just from going to the site.
Yep. And I'd never seen one, but this was the first time I'd seen one actually on my system. And I was like, what? And, you know. You know, curiosity, man. You got to go back, you know, two or three times to, hey, did it again. Hey, it did it again.
Call your friend. Hey, go to this website for me. See what happens.
See what happens to your machine.
They're like, taste this. It tastes funny.
Yeah.
Thank you. So, yeah, right. So the WatchGuard, again, could block that because there's plenty of things that you can just block advertisements completely.
Right.
So it sounds like there's going to be more and more need for WatchGuards if they keep pushing this HTTPS stuff.
I would think so.
It's really going to drive the demand up because, and not only that, that to inspect HTTPS traffic is pretty intensive action on the WatchGuard or any router, right?
Oh, yeah. Because
it's got to decrypt it.
Encrypt it.
It's a lot of stuff. So these routers that you're having to get are pretty expensive to really protect. But the days of having any antivirus on your computer, I don't care if it's the internet security suite, if it's just a basic, those are gone. You got to do more than that.
Oh, absolutely. Customers come and they say, how can I stop from getting infected again? And I look straight at them and go, you can't. So, but here's what we can do to the best of our ability to mitigate this process. We're going to put you on a maintenance plan. We're going to make sure that all your updates where this where a lot of malware is coming in. It's coming in through exploits and updates, or you know, exploits in things that aren't getting updated. Make sure your Windows updates are done. Make sure your third party updates are done. Make sure that, you know, we're looking at things in your system. If we see anything funny, because here's the reality: when people bring me their computer, they're not bringing it to me because they just got a virus. Mm-hmm. They've been infected for months, but they finally got a virus or malware that broke Internet Explorer, Google Chrome, whatever, that they can't surf the internet, so they bring it to me. And so I go in there and I go, whew, this thing is ugly. But if I'm able to catch it quicker, it's not going to let its little brothers and sisters in over time. I can, you know, I can clean it up, get it back to where it needs to be, and get them on their way. And that's really what it's coming down to. You have to have some sort of maintenance program because you're right. Antivirus by itself is not going to help.
And it's going to have to be blocked at the gateway.
Yep.
Which is a router level.
Right.
Not on the desktop. I mean, the router itself, you know, I'm sure Sonicwall has the same thing. And other manufacturers. I'm familiar with WatchGuard, so I'll speak about WatchGuard. Gateway antivirus for traffic coming in. It scans the stuff coming in. Reputation defense. So if you go to website, it looks to see what the reputation of the website is to know if it should block it or scan it or let it through. There are so many different things. They have advanced persistent threat. I don't know if you've heard of this. So if you get a file and they've never seen it, they upload that to, I think, Lastline. It's Lastline. And they run full system and emulation on it.
Oh, okay.
And one of the things that's pretty cool is some of this malware is pretty smart. It won't run if it thinks it's in a virtual machine. But what I told, Lastline can detect that it's not running because it's in a virtual machine. Because apparently the software says, it's saying, hey, check for mouse clicks or check for keyboard. So it sends out a check saying, hey, are there any mouse clicks? Are there any keyboard? Is there any mouse movement? So that's how it checks to see if it's in a virtual machine, because virtual machine, there's probably not going to be any mouse movement or mouse clicks. So the Lastline emulation can detect that that thing is looking for that and flag it as bad. Because why else would it look for it?
Right.
So it's pretty cool about what it can do. And that's all the gateway level. So it doesn't even reach your computer. And that's really what it's going to take nowadays to block this stuff.
Now, so from your opinion in what you've seen out there, is there any consumer level routers and things that people can get that are similar to WatchGuard, but maybe not as high end that do similar types of things? So, okay. So, and see, that's always going to be the rub in a household to get somebody to spend hundreds of dollars on something is like virtually impossible.
Right. Unless you're a good salesperson.
Exactly. Which I'm not.
It's easy in a business. It's easy in the business. And some, we actually have them in homes. We have them in homes for people who have them in their business. They see the value in it and they get it for their houses.
Okay.
So we have some that have them at their houses and we know that it has stopped things because we give the reports.
Right.
So if it stopped two or three separate instances of an infection, I mean, you paid for the router for the year pretty much.
Right.
You can prove it with the reporting.
Sure.
So then they see the value in it. Anyway, I like WatchGuard. I've been having fun with learning a bunch of new stuff, pretty cool stuff. And you always got to stay one, hopefully not too many steps behind the virus and malware writers, because they're always going to be in front of you.
Now, how long, in your opinion, do WatchGuard routers last?
As long as they're supported from WatchGuard.
Okay. Which is?
It depends on their life cycle. So I've had some out there that are 5-6 years old. So at a point, they'll reach end of life and they won't renew what's called live security on it.
Okay.
They won't support it anymore. And if you don't have live security, you can't renew your UTM, your Unified Threat Management software.
Right. Okay.
And once you can't renew that stuff anymore, it's useless.
It's not worth anything.
No. So, but that's pretty long, providing you size the WatchGuard correctly for your environment.
Okay.
Because if you're going to do a bunch of UTM, if you're going to do deep packet inspection for looking at HTTPS traffic, if you're going to be doing data loss prevention, I mean, all these stuff adds resources or things that the router has to do. So the most common thing I see is people not getting the box big enough for their needs.
Okay, gotcha.
Or they'll get a small box, discover all the cool features, and then want to add them, but then it slows to a crawl because it's supporting too many users.
Okay.
So as long as you size it correctly and keep all it'll last a while.
Okay. Because, you know, I'm just looking at, regular consumer-grade routers. And I've really have never gotten one past like 5 years. You know, usually at 4.5 years, that's when I start to have trouble. And it gets down to the point where it's, you know, I shut it off, turn it off and turn it on again. And then, you know, that'll fix it for a few weeks. And then I got to do it again. And then it gets to a point where it gets so irritating that I'm doing it so often that I finally go, I probably should go buy another router.
Yeah. So if you keep live security renewed, it's covered. Okay. If you have those problems, you just you open a case of WatchGuard, they'll look at it. They can't fix it, they send you a new one.
Nice. Okay.
And they're normally going to want to keep that anyway, because you're usually going to want to have that. Well, you have to have live security to have all the features, like the gateway antivirus scanning and all that stuff. So
I was going to say, what would be the point of having that without the live security?
Well, we have some users that do that.
Okay.
And they just use it for the HTTP proxy, because you can block some stuff just without having any kind of subscription services. You can block stuff. It's more manual.
Right.
But and it's better than off-the-shelf router normally, but you can do things without the subscription.
Okay, gotcha.
Not as much, but it's still better. I'd still rather have that without live security, without any subscription services, than a home router.
Okay, very good. So, yeah, and I think if you're going to start using these in a business, I think that's one of the things that people, it would probably be best to go ahead and get one for your own home network so you can learn how it works, learn how to use it, learn how you can deploy it, and not only that, I think from that standpoint, it's a good selling feature too, so that you know about it and you can sell it to your customers.
Yeah, because customers are going to ask you, can we do this?
Right.
And if you don't know how to use it, that goes for anything.
Exactly.
If you don't know how to use it, you might tell them, no, we can't do that. Or the next tech they call, say, yeah, no problem, I can do that.
Or the worst answer is, I don't know.
Well, and even I don't know is not as bad as if you say no, and then they find out it is possible.
Right.
That's the worst. That's the worst.
Ugh.
So I got a story about a data backup and restore nightmare.
Oh, am I going to cry? For the customer? Am I going to weep for the customer?
Oh, yeah, you will.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So I got a call from a customer. And she had CryptoLocker.
Oh.
No WatchGuard there. Home Linksys router. So, by the way, I'm not saying WatchGuard is going to stop every CryptoLocker infection. Please don't think I'm saying that. People out there listening, don't call me and say, hey, they didn't stop it. My first thought would be, it's not configured right. And my second thought would be, it won't stop everything. Okay, so she got CryptoLocker. I gave her a couple of choices. I said, we can try and clean it up. Well, of course, first thing, right, Jeff, is, hey, you got a backup?
No.
She says, I have a backup.
Oh, Lord.
I have an online backup. I've already called the company. They confirmed that I have a backup.
Oh, okay.
Great. That's awesome. So, do we want to clean it up and restore your data? Or do you want to just, because she didn't have much on her computer. She has Office and QuickBooks.
Okay.
That's it. And a printer. I said, or do you want to just wipe it, reload with the recovery disk, reload Office, reload QuickBooks? So she said, well, let's just reload. Because this computer's a couple years old. I just want to clean it out anyway.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
All right. And I said, so before I do this, you have verified that you have the data backed up. Oh, yeah. Great. Okay.
Well, not that that would matter, because what's on her computer is encrypted anyways, right?
Well, she had a version. So let's just say it happened September 1st. Everything was encrypted. She had backups from the day before.
Okay. All right.
So she called and verified. I want a backup from August 31st.
Okay.
So, yeah, we got it. We got it. No problem. Just log in and restore it.
Okay,
great. Get the computer, wipe it, reload everything. No problem. And so then I ask, okay, so what did you have for... And I'm going to throw them under the bus. I'm going to say their name because they're ridiculous. And so just so people don't use them, I'm going to say, how do I restore your data? Do you want me to restore your data or do you want to restore your data? I give them the option, right? Because I'm charging them.
Sure.
She said, well, go ahead and restore the QuickBooks data. And then I'll restore the rest of the data myself. She goes, you can just show me how to do it. I said, that's fine.
Okay.
What are you using? QuickBooks Intuit Data Protect.
I've never heard of it.
Good.
Holy cow.
So it's that thing if you ever use QuickBooks, when it always pop up. You'll get a pop up saying, hey, your data protect subscription expired or something like that.
Okay.
Even though you're not using it.
Right.
It's still gonna pop up and saying it's expired because they want you to use it.
Sure.
So she was using this. I said, okay, I've never used it. I'm sure it's fine. You know, it could go wrong. So I load it up. I restore the QuickBooks data. It works fine. Great. This works great. I'm so glad this works. Got our QuickBooks data back. Opened up the companies. All worked fine. Then she also backed up her My Documents with this. So all the data, all she had was My Documents and QuickBooks data.
Okay.
And it's all PDF files and Excel and Word. That's all she does.
Sure.
So I go to restore file. And now, by now, it's like September 4th. So there's two backup, there's two restore points. I see September 1st and August 31st. Well, September 1st is encrypted.
Right.
So I want to restore to August 31st. So it lists them all. There's no folder structure in the view, the view, right?
Right.
So the view has the has thousands of files listed in the big list. Now, if you look at the path, it shows you the full path, but you got to expand it out. And it's not like folder A, folder B. I can't click on folder A and say restore. I got to click the file. And then since it's defaulting to the last backup, which is September 1st, I had to click change date. Or no, choose a version. Choose a version. It's a link. It's a web link. It takes 10 minutes for the calendar to come pop up asking me, which date do you want to restore? So, oh, well, first of all, to even get the list of files, it took like a half an hour.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm like, well, it's kind of annoying, but I bill by the hour, so whatever. So then I click on choose version, and I'm like 10 minutes before the calendar pops up to click August 31st. I click August 31st. Now, I'll say this is a file-by-file process. You cannot select multiple files.
Oh.
So for each file, you've got to click choose version, wait 10 minutes, click August 31st, next file, choose version, wait 10 minutes.
Oh my gosh, you got to be kidding me.
So I said, this is pretty bad. So I called QuickBooks. I said, there's got to be a better way for me to restore. I said, I can restore from the last restore point. Now, if the last restore point was usable, I could have did check all files, restore.
Okay.
Because there is that select all. But if you have to change a date, change it per file.
And so that's the versioning that it's going into then at that point.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Gotcha.
So it's per file. And let's just say she has 10,000 files. I don't know how many files. I didn't count them.
It was a lot.
So, yeah, if you hit the little scroll button, you're hitting scroll for like ever. I'm like, okay. I said, so I'm not doing this. So I called QuickBooks and I said, look, we need to restore from the August 31st restore point. And they said, okay, well, just click on choose version. I said, no. I said, have you done a restore on your software? I need to restore everything. The September 1st backup is encrypted. I need to restore the August 31st. I don't want to click choose version 10,000 times. Do you? But anyway, after hours in the phone call, this is the first day, they said there's no other way to do it. You have to do it that way. I said, okay, is there any way for you to put this on DVD and send it to me? No. I said, no, there's not. It's not possible. Okay. So I called my client and I told her, I can show you how to restore the files. It's going to take you about 4 years. She said, what do you mean? So she came to my office and I showed her how to do it. She's like, oh my God, this is ridiculous. She goes, how much would you charge me to do it? I said, boy, you. I said, what would we charge? $15,000? I said, as an estimate, I'm going to bill actual time. And she's like, well, I can't pay that. I said, well, I know you can't pay it. I can't do it actually either. I mean, I'm saying I would charge it, but if you told me yes, I'd say, well, I don't have time for that.
Right.
So she went home and she tried it. She tried for about a week and a half. She tried. And a week and a half, guess how many files she got restored?
5.
Well, you're so optimistic. None. 5. We were dreaming about 5. Okay. So she calls me back a week and a half later, telling me that it's not working. She's been on the phone with QuickBooks every day. They've remoted it to the computer, and they're trying to restore it. It's not working. They're telling her it's because of her slow internet. I said, okay. I said, you can bring it to my office. You can use my internet connection. I said, it didn't work in my office either, but whatever. Bring it somewhere where you have fast internet connection, call them back. Or bring it, you can sit in my office and do it. Another week goes by. That didn't work. Even with a fast internet connection, they don't know why it's happening. She said, she asked them, can you put it on DVD and send it to me? They said, no, we can't do that. So then she's back to wanting me to do it for her. She goes, do you have anybody that's cheaper that can do this for me? I got a trained monkey. I mean, so I told her, you know what? I called my daughter. She's 16. I said, look, do you want to make some money? And of course, no.
Of course not. Dad's paying for everything. Come on.
Yeah, right. Why do I need money? So I explained to her what the job was. I said, you can work, do it from home. Do it while you're watching your Netflix, your precious Netflix. So she goes, yeah, I'll do it. Great. So I called her and I told her, I have somebody cheaper. I mean, full disclosure, it's my daughter. But as a benefit, I'll be able to supervise her. I'm not going to charge you for my time supervising her. But if she has any questions, comes across any problems, I'll help her out. You know, $15 an hour. She said, great, do it. So she spends Friday night, Saturday, Sunday working. And we got 400 files back.
That's better.
That's pretty good. I gave her, she said, we'll do it as a trial run. We'll see how many you get done over the weekend. And if it's promising, we'll continue. So I was telling her, you might make a few thousand dollars doing this. She was all excited. So she came and got her computer on the Monday. I bring it back Friday. She brought it back Friday. And we started doing restore again. Same process, but every file we tried to restore failed. Everything failed. Everything. We tried for hours. Everything failed. I called QuickBooks. I let them remote in. They don't know what's going on. They don't know why it's failing. Now, I could tell you, then I said, okay, that's enough of this. Let me talk to level 2, at least. So level 2 gets on there. I said, look, the error says it's failing on the restore. I can pick the file. I can hit restore. It fails with this cryptic number. What does this number mean? I don't know. So is it just some kind of random number generator? I don't understand. I said, where are the restore logs? There's got to be restore logs somewhere telling us why this is failing. So he finds the backup logs. He says, oh, look, it says it's working. I said, yeah, you're in the backup logs? I'm not trying to back up. I'm trying to restore.
Right.
Okay. So he connects to the computer. What do you think he does? He runs a test backup. I said, well, it seems to be working.
Oh, said, you got to be kidding me.
Right. I said, I'm not trying to back up. I said, try and restore that now. Because the whole purpose of backing up is to restore it, right? So he tries to restore it. It fails. So what does he do? He checks the backup log. It says it passed. Right. That's the backup log? Where's the restore logs? Do you have restore logs? Anyway, this started September 4th. What's the date now? For those listening at home?
October 25th.
I spent countless hours on the phone with tech support. Every time I got on the phone with them, they connected, tried to run a backup. I said, do you have any notes in the case file? Because I'm not trying to back up. I have to restore. Finally, I got to a level 2 supervisor who understands the difference between backing up and restoring. And I told most of them, do you know the difference between backup and restore? Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Really? Because you keep running backups. You never once tried to restore. I even showed them the error I'm getting. I said, I'm doing this. I'm clicking this. I'm clicking restore. And it takes like, oh, by the way, it takes about a half an hour before the restore fails.
Oh, ho, ho, ho.
So you got to sit there and wait for it to say restore failed. So I get the phone with tech support and to show them, I let them do it. And they say, oh, it seems to be hung up. I said, no, it's not hung up. It's not hung up. Wait, you got to wait for it. Oh, can you call us back? No, no. You're going to sit on the phone. You're going to stay connected to this computer and you're going to sit here and watch it. Because I've been doing this for 6 weeks. You're going to sit here and watch it. So I sat there and watched it, and then it finally aired out. He's like, oh, yeah. I said, well, it's the same screenshot I already gave you. I took a screenshot of it.
Right.
So now you see the live error instead of the screenshot error, which is identical.
Right.
Does that help you in some way? Now that you've seen it personally? It didn't help. It didn't help. So in the end, after all this time, you know what they tell me?
Oh,
we're going to put it on DVD and send it to you.
Oh, my gosh.
I said, that's fantastic. That's great. I have a question. Why, when I asked you this 6 weeks ago, you told me it wasn't possible, and the client called in directly, and you told them it wasn't possible either. Why did you tell them that? Why did you tell me that if it was possible? Hold on, please, sir. They've never answered that question. Okay. And I said, okay, whatever. Whatever. How long will it take to get the DVD? I said, about a week. I said, great, about a week. That was 4 weeks ago.
Oh, Lord.
So after 2 weeks go by, I call them back. And I have to go through this whole rigmarole. Where's my data? Oh, I see you have trouble backing up. No, no, no. Are we back on this again?
No.
You're supposed to be sending me a CD with data on it. Well, how much data is it? I said, I don't know. I'm not going to add up to 10,000 files. You tell me it's on your server. Oh, it's 23 gigs. Fine, it's 23 gigs. There you go. Why'd you ask me if you knew it? And so I get run around. Anyway, the end of the story is I get run around constantly telling me, oh, well, no, it's not 1 week. It's going to be 3 weeks. I said, okay, it's been 3 weeks. Where's my data? Oh, what do you mean it's been 3 weeks? I said, I called 3 weeks ago. You told me it'd be a week, 3 weeks ago. So if it's 3 weeks, I want my data right now. Give it to me. Oh, what? Oh, no. It'll be 6 weeks. Oh, it'll be 6 weeks now.
Oh.
So when it was 1 week and that's passed, then it was 3 weeks. Now it's 6 weeks. So anyway, they keep telling me they're going to call me back. They never do. Finally, Friday, I called them back again. I say, I need to talk to the supervisor I've been talking to. Well, he's not available. Yeah, of course he's not. Who are you, a supervisor? Yes. Okay, good. Where's my data? He says, oh, let me find out. I'll call you in an hour. No, I'm sorry. This is Thursday morning. I'll call you in an hour. Great. Friday afternoon, I'll call. I call back. I get a hold of them. He said, oh, there's an update. They said they shipped out your CD. I said, it's great. It's great. So I've been calling for 2 months, and y'all be telling me that I'm going to get an update by phone call. When there's an update. So wouldn't you consider this an update that they finally shipped my CD? Yes. Then why were my phone call? Why am I calling you back and went online for an hour on hold?
Oh.
And of course, I can't answer this stuff.
Sure.
And then he says, well, we're going to send you an email link as well. You don't have to wait for the CD. You can just download it. Great. When am I going to get that? Oh, it should get in a few minutes. I haven't got it yet.
Oh.
So no CD yet. No email yet with a download link, and is going on 2 months. This is Intuit Data Protect. The data is so protected, you cannot get it.
Is this one of those things, jack of all trades, master of none? Maybe they shouldn't be in the data protection business. Because let's face it, we know they're not using their own server farm. They're farming that out somewhere. They're using AWS or Azure or whatever. So why are they even messing with that stuff?
I'll tell you what one engineer told me who let it slip.
Okay.
He made reference to a Symantec server. I'm not sure if this is some kind of Symantec back engine or something, but he mentioned Symantec engineer.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe he's just throwing words out there that he thinks people knows. I don't know.
Probably not. Because how many backup services are there really, you know, that we know of?
He may be trying to deflect blame. They kept telling me, oh, I don't have direct access to the engineer who's doing this data. Okay. Do you have access to your supervisor? Is he around somewhere? Can I talk to him? Do you have access to him? I said, it's nice to tell me that you don't have access to an engineer so you can not answer my questions. But do you have access to a supervisor? Yes. Good. Go get him. It's terrible. Even the supervisors don't call you back when they say they're going to call you back.
Yeah, that's poor. You know, it's unfortunate because how many people have to use QuickBooks? I mean, the product itself. Yeah. And let's be honest. I use Quicken for my own personal finances. And the program's not all that great. You know, it's a crapshoot whether it's going to work, whether it's going to import my data right, whatever. But what other choices do I really have?
Don't use whatever you do, don't back it up into it.
Oh, absolutely not.
Now, it worked fine for the QuickBooks. QuickBooks are doing no problem.
But you're only talking about a handful of files, right?
Yeah, one company.
Yeah.
I kept telling them, you know what? This is a company's main computer. Can you be without your data, your company's data for 2 months? Don't you see how it puts a strain on the company? Now, I'm also trying to get them to pay for all my time.
Oh, yeah.
And my daughter's time.
Yeah.
I told the QuickBooks. I said, so is the way you foresee this product working, should it take 2 months and $1,000 in labor to get the data back? Oh, no, no. That's okay. So what are you going to do about it? Because it's been 2 months, and she can give you invoices for over $1,000. So what are you going to do about it? And I haven't got an answer. They don't answer questions.
No.
No. you can ask them all the questions you want. They're going to call you back about that, okay?
I got to check. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Now, I got a call back once. You know what the callback said? Oh, they're going to call you back. I said, so you're calling me to tell me they're going to call you back? I said, that's no news.
Wow. I mean, that's gutsy for a company to act like that.
And when I would call, they would tell me, okay, you're going to get a call back in 1 to 2 days. I said, great, 1 to 2 days. So I got to wait 1 to 2 days. You're not going to call me back. And I got to call you in 3 days to go through this again. So after 3 days, I would call them. You know, they tell me, you'll get a call back in 1 to 2 days. I said, why are we resetting the clock? I've already been waiting 3 days. Don't reset the clock just because I called you. I want the original timeline of 1 to 2 days, and you're overdue, so I want to talk to somebody now. It's been crazy. So I'm going to love it, Jeff. I'm going to love it when I get the data back on DVD, and it's from September 1st.
Oh. Wouldn't that be horrible?
Oh, it's gonna happen.
Oh.
I put money on it. I haven't gotten my download link.
Right.
They said they were gonna email me that in a few minutes. Oh, the engineer's emailing that right now. Oh yeah. I tell him all the time, well, I don't really believe you. I mean, he told me the DVD shipped. I said, I don't believe you. I said, you have a tracking number? Do you have any kind of proof of shipping? Do you have anything? Who shipped it? I said, what's the address? Where'd you ship it to? He got the right address.
Okay.
I said, good. Then how'd you ship it? Oh, I don't know. Oh, so you know where they shipped it, but you don't know how they shipped it. That's unlikely. It should be in the ticket there. How'd they ship it? Postal mail? FedEx? UPS? He can't answer it. Let me guess. You're going to call me back.
I bet they love dealing with you for the last 2 months.
Oh, look. The guy sits in my office with me. I share an office with one of my techs. He's laughing. He's on the phone laughing. And he's like, man, you ripped him a new one. I said, look, after a month, I was tired of dealing with them. So I'm not nice anymore.
Right.
And I, I start off being nice to every new person I talk to. Because I write their names down. I start off nice every time. By the end of the phone call, I'm not nice anymore.
Wow.
I say things I can't say on the air.
Right.
That I say to them.
Right. It, you know, it's that's a horrible, horrible story. And a good lesson for a product to definitely not use to protect you.
And she has no clue. So now she's not on that. Now she's on the Max Focus backup.
Okay. Gotcha.
But I didn't know, and I didn't ask her what backup she had. It didn't really matter. I would have never thought that it's backed up. They verify it's backed up, but you just can't restore it.
Right.
Never had that. But now you know. If you hear anybody that says, I'm using Antoine Data Protect, you need to just tell them, okay, so you don't want to get it back. They do backup. Most places do backup and restore. They do backup.
Yeah, you know, and what's really ridiculous is, I mean, I don't know how much that product costs or whatever. I'm sure it's all they're all about the same. But, you know, even the higher level Carbonite that I use, I've got courier service. So if I can't get my data back or I need it back right away, they'll ship me out a hard drive. Here's your stuff. Because I've got well over 500 gigs backed up to the cloud. And so for me, I could pull it down fairly quickly, but even then, it's still going to take me a while. So if I wanted to get it.
Not 2 months.
No, exactly. No way. That'd be ridiculous. Well, yeah, use, from now on, just so everybody knows out there, use a name brand backup that's not, has anything to do with Intuit.
Yeah, right, because Intuit's the name. Intuit's the name. And she had no idea. I said, well, I didn't know it was that. I was like, did I? But, you know, now we've both learned a valuable lesson. More costly for you, but.
Right, exactly. Now, when your daughter got 400 files back and then it just stopped working after that, she was able to get the 400?
Yeah, the next weekend we did the same thing. We just, she was checking off which files she restored.
Sure.
And the next weekend she picked up and it just failed.
So it did work at one time and it all of a sudden stopped working.
Working, if you call that working.
Yeah, well, yeah, working very slowly and poorly.
Because I can't just say, hey, I can't change the calendar to 8/31 and say, give me all my files.
Right.
That's a pretty bad feature.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I would pick 50 at a time, or she'd pick 50 at a time, restore, and they all restored.
Right.
So sometime, but then, yeah, I mean, she made some money. She got $300-$400 out of it, out of a few hours that she worked.
Nice.
She was happy. She was mad when it broke.
Yeah, because you can make the rest of her money.
Yeah. But then it turns into my billing. Because my time for QuickBooks is my rate.
Right.
So she was out of it. Now she's paying my rate, which is a lot more.
Yeah.
But I, look, some people say I'm a smart aleck sometimes. So when I'm on the phone with QuickBooks, I really let it go. I really let it flow. Really? I make comments like, "You ever heard of CryptoLocker?" No. Well, you're kind of similar. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
You both hold the data and won't give it back to me.
Oh.
except she's paying you monthly. That's a good deal.
I don't. Why do these companies do this? I just don't get it. I don't get it. Why?
Hey, they're getting paid.
Yeah, exactly. The handfuls of times that they have to go through stuff like this, it's not a whole lot. So, yeah.
So one last thing I mentioned, for those people who work on domains. You don't work on domains, do you, Jeff? Like in Active Directory domains?
Well, I did about a month ago. I had to get in Active Directory in, 2003.
You sound pretty excited about it.
Yeah, I was... I remember enough how to get in there and do some things that I needed to do to get a computer back online, but that was about it.
Okay, so when we're deploying the Max Focus agent, it's useful to be able to do different things for group policy on the server.
Right.
So if people haven't heard of it, check out SpecOps GPU GP update. It's at specopsoft.com. specopsoft.com. And I'm sure if you have show notes, you can put them in there. But it's a free utility, GPO update. You install it on your server. You can right-click on a computer in Active Directory, tell it to reboot, tell it to shut down, tell it to start up.
Oh, okay.
So it adds different utilities right from Active Directory.
Ah, interesting. So you don't actually have to look at that machine. You can look at it through Active Directory then.
Yeah. So for instance, we were trying to uninstall the current antivirus, reboot it, let the agent install from group policy.
Okay.
But Max Focus is supposed to uninstall the current AV when it deploys its own AV. It doesn't always work. So I can send the uninstall command for the current AV, reboot it. Anyway, I can right-click on a computer and do reboot.
Right.
It reboots, or I can shut down, or I can start up.
Okay.
If it's off. And I can also right-click on it and say force GP update, force group policy update, instead of waiting or typing GP update / force on the workstation. I can do it from Active Directory. It's pretty cool. It's free. Now, they have a paid one, which is more features, but the basic stuff, reboot, startup, shutdown, force update for group policy, is all free.
Nice. Okay.
And it works pretty good. We've been using it on quite a few servers, from 03 to 2012 servers. I think it worked on all of them.
Oh, so there are still 03 servers out there then?
Oh, yeah. We still have a few. Yeah. They always throw alerts in Max Focus logic cards.
Ah, yes. Okay.
You have unsupported. Yeah, I know. I know.
Don't customer bug me. Doesn't bug, care. Yeah, bug them.
Bug them.
I already know. I already told them.
I bug them enough. They always say, yeah, I know, I know. No, we're going to be getting rid of them. But mostly we've been migrating people to hosted Exchange. So,
okay.
The few O3 servers we have, they're O3 terminal servers that they can't get rid of because they're running on some ancient platform that only runs on O3. So I don't have too many of them out there, but I still have some. But that SpecOps GP update, very useful tool. Now, once you have the agent on there, if you're using an agent, you can do it through the agent. But until the agent's on there, it's nice to have this.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. That's a better way to do it than to have to remote into each machine. If you can do it right from the server, why not?
Right.
Deploy everything right there.
I can pick all the computers, right-click, reboot them all.
Nice.
Yeah. It's very nice. But we use the agent once it's on there. But to get it on there, it's nice.
Yeah. Very cool. Well, are there any other stories that you have for us? Or have we completed a good, sad, and happy story all at the same time?
So from Podless Pro, I get these stories every day. I still get them every day. We probably got 30, 40 work orders a day that come into my office. I could do a daily show about the calls I get.
Oh, careful, Matt. Careful.
This doesn't mean I'm going to.
I already got people beating me up all the time. Where's Matt Rainey? Where's Matt Rainey? So
I would like to, but I can't. Not right now. Never say can't. One day I may say, you know what? I'm going to dedicate 1 hour a day to a daily show. Maybe. It's possible.
Well, Matt, I will tell you, you're always welcome to come on this show. You know when I record, and we can chat about whatever you got going on at your work, and we can even talk about real estate or whatever you want.
Like, I probably have real estate stories too, because people are people everywhere.
Absolutely. You got that right. Oh, well, I appreciate you coming out today, Matt. And if you wanted to let people know how they could get a hold of you, what's the best way to do that?
The best way is through the forms, informed.it. Email me info@informedit.net. If you're interested in real estate, mattrainey.net. There's contact information there.
Absolutely. All right. Very cool. Well, I appreciate you coming out and sharing with us tonight. It's been fun as usual.
And I'll have to give you an update if when that data comes in, what actually happened with it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Definitely let us know. All right, you guys can find me on the Google Plus at Jeffrey Hallish or Twitter at TechNutPC. And if you have any questions or would like to be a guest on the show like Matt was, email me at podnutsdaily@podnuts.com. I want to thank our sponsor, Instant House Call, for this episode of Podnuts Daily. And don't forget, if you need business paperwork to get you started in your computer repair business, then check out the link for the TechNibble Computer Business Kit over at podnest.com. And also check out the informedit.net for your forms to document the things you're doing for your customers. You guys can also help support the Podnest Network. So next time you're shopping at Amazon, go to podnest.com/Amazon. And I want to thank everyone for listening and subscribing to the show. We'll see you next time on Podnets Daily. My name is Jeff Halish. I am the host of Podnuts, where Chris Carruthers and myself take live calls on the air to answer questions or to get answers from other computer repair techs every Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern. You can check it out over at podnuts.com/live. Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.